Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 8, but as we do so, you need to remember what goes right before. So I'm going to go back up to verse 5, and then our focus will be in verse 8 and following. Beginning in verse 5, this is God's word from 1 Peter chapter 5. "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I've written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all who are in Christ." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Our focus begins in verse 8, where we read, "Be self-controlled and alert." Be self-controlled and alert. Well, I'm sorry, I just don't have any self-control. I just can't do it. Self-control is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. It doesn't come naturally to anyone. Impulse control is something you have to learn. You don't just start out with it. Have you ever tried to resist the urge to scratch where you've been bitten by a mosquito? It's hard to resist an impulse. It's hard for me to resist getting some raw cookie dough out of the fridge. It's just there. Even with the door closed, I can hear it calling, "Jim, Jim, come get me." I mean, it's just hard. It's hard to resist. It's hard to resist reaching over and hitting the snooze button instead of getting out of bed. It's hard to resist our own impulses. All of us have a tendency to do things that we know we ought not to do. And self-control means controlling yourself. Yeah, I want to do it, but I'm not going to do it. I'd like to say that, but I know I shouldn't say that. I don't really want to do this, but I know I should do this. Self-control is an essential of godliness and of healthy living and of happy relationships. If you don't have self-control, you're going to have lousy relationships. You're not going to get along well at work. You're not going to get along well at home. You're not going to get along well in the neighborhood. The fact of the matter is, self-control is not something that comes naturally. It is absolutely vital, and it is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit at work in us. You read the characteristics, the fruit of the Spirit, and self-control is something that God produces in people who yield themselves to Him. He gives you the power to say no to those impulses and to say yes to His leading. So, be self-controlled and alert. Think soberly. Think seriously. Be alert. Why? Well, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You and I are not in this situation all by ourselves. One of my sons said to me several years ago, "Dad, I'm finally beginning to understand what you've been trying to tell me for years. Many of my thoughts come to me from the devil. The reason I'm having that thought is not just because I'm a sinner, it's because I have an adversary. He is a liar and the father of lies, and he plants thoughts in our heads. That is where the battlefield is. He plants thoughts in our heads to try to get us to do things we shouldn't." Now, we would still have problems if there were no devil. But the devil certainly adds a lot to the problem. If you watched a football team trying to move the ball down the field, and one team was invisible, okay? If the defense was invisible, you'd kind of scratch your head and wonder what's going wrong with this offense. How come, you know, the guy was about to throw the ball and all of a sudden he fell backward? Okay, well, what happened? Well, he got sacked. Well, why? Because he didn't see the defender coming. The guy's invisible. That would kind of be an advantage, wouldn't it, if you could be invisible out there on the field? The fact of the matter is we have an adversary who is invisible. But he's very real, he's very smart, he's very well practiced, and he's very dedicated. So how can we recognize the adversary, the devil, and be successful in doing what God has called us to do? Well, to start with, we need to humble ourselves. I want you to look, don't lose your place here in 1 Peter 5, but I want you to look in the previous book, James, in chapter 4, and see if you don't see some parallels to what we're being told by the Holy Spirit here in 1 Peter. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What did we read in verse 5 of 1 Peter 5? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Both of them quoting the same passage about the importance of humility. And then look in James. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. If you're going to be successful in your warfare against the enemy, the beginning of that section and the end of that section both say you've got to humble yourselves. Why? Because God gives grace to the humble, but He opposes the proud. What was Satan's great crime? What was it that got him kicked out of heaven? It was his pride. He wanted to put himself in the position of God. He did not want to submit himself to God. He wanted to be God. And what was it that he did in order to lead Adam and Eve into sin? He appealed to their pride. He said, you don't have to submit to what God said. God's not telling you the truth. You can go ahead and eat this fruit and you'll be like God. You can exalt yourself. What is the mindset we're supposed to have in Philippians chapter 2? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself and became a servant. He was obedient even to the point of death, death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. We just sang about that. And that's what this is talking about in 1 Peter chapter 5, and that's what James was talking about in the previous book in chapter 4, and that is, if you're going to be successful against this invisible but powerful enemy who is out to destroy you, you've got to wise up, you've got to think soberly, and you've got to humble yourself. You choose deliberately not to try and throw yourself out there first to say, yes, look at me, I am the greatest. Instead, you humble yourself following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around, verse 8, like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Do you want to be that someone? I don't. I've seen what the devil does to people. Chewing them up and spitting them out. I've seen the shipwreck that happens in people's lives when they think they don't have to do what God says. They can do what they want. Let me tell you something about life. Follow the designer's instructions. You do things God's way. Turns out the Creator knows best. Do things God's way and it turns out, oh, life. Do things the way Satan suggests. Turns out, disease, injury, death. God's plan is a good and gracious plan. Yes, there will be suffering in this world because of sin, but things go so much better when you follow God's instruction. So humble yourself before the Lord. The Bible doesn't just say resist the devil and he'll flee from you. In that passage from James that we read, it says submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And likewise here, it tells us resist him, resist the devil. But it tells us that in the context of verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. When you humble yourself under God's mighty hand, when you submit yourself to him, then you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You're not the first person to face this battle. You're not the first person to go through hardship. All of our brothers and sisters around the world can relate. And in fact, so many of them have it so much harder than we do that we can't even imagine. So you and I, when we have to suffer hardship because we're doing the right thing, when we get criticized or even persecuted, we need to realize it is not common in this country for the government to round us up and beat us and kill us. Not yet. And what is promised? Verse 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. God has a calling on your life, Christian. God has things that he has intended for you, that he wants to do in and through you. And after you've suffered a little while, it's temporary. Whatever suffering you have in this life is temporary. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to end up in great shape. And what it says is God's going to personally see to it. He doesn't just say, time heals all wounds. He says, God himself will personally make sure that you are restored. God will do it. That is good news. That's really good news. God will get it done. He'll make sure that you are restored, made strong, firm, and steadfast. And guess who will receive the power and glory forever and ever? Amen. It's the Lord, as it should be, because it's his accomplishment. He is the one who saves.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, this promise from God keeps us strong in the midst of suffering. When you're going through difficulty, you realize, hey, this is not going to last forever. It's a temporary problem. I can deal with this. This is not forever. I can't stand this for the rest of my life. Well, yes, you can, as long as you're dead within a few minutes. Okay? You're going to be okay. You can endure it. So stand firm against the enemy, knowing that God has promised in the end, those who trust and obey will be victorious. If you trust God and do what God says, you will be victorious because Jesus has already won the prize. We're just following him across the finish line. He's already broken the tape and we're on the team. We win. Hallelujah. The outcome is not uncertain. It's not a situation where, you know, boy, if enough of us will pull together, we can get this done. Jesus has already won the prize for us. He was already on the throne, and he came here so that we could join him. He didn't need this for himself. He did this for us, and he did it because he loves you. And so now he says, in light of what I've done for you, this is what I want you to do for me. And it turns out what he's asking us to do for him is for our good. Parents want their kids to brush their teeth. Why? Because they love their kids. I mean, why should I care if you brush your teeth? If you're going to have a mouthful of cavities and pain, why should I care? If you're going to look like a toothless freak, why should I care? Right? I mean, that's your problem. No, I care about you. You understand? So I want you to brush your teeth. They're my teeth. Nobody's going to tell me what to do with my teeth. Well, no, I'm just trying to help you here. My grandmother, when she was 97 years old, was having gallbladder surgery. The nurse came in the room and said, Mrs. Wood, if you would just put your teeth here in this cup for me. And my grandmother said, no, these are my teeth. And the nurse said, yes, ma'am, and we'll make sure nothing happens to them. And my grandmother said, no, these are my teeth. And the nurse said, yes, ma'am, I understand. And she said, no, these are my teeth. She had a mouthful of her own teeth at 97 years of age. The nurse couldn't believe it. I mean, how's that possible? My grandmother brushed her teeth. She also had very good genes, but my grandmother inherited good teeth. She grew up in a place where there was no fluoride in the water, and her teeth were still hard as rock, okay? Because God made them that way. And she only drank a soft drink once a day. Oh, well. My grandmother brushed her teeth. And you should brush your teeth. Some of you will not have as good teeth as other people just because of genes, but, and because of diet, but brush your teeth. Do what you can do. You can't control whether there's fluoride in the water. You can't control whether or not you got good genes. The most important health decision you will ever make is who your parents are. Think about that. I don't think we get to choose who our parents are. Very good. It was a sarcastic statement. You can't control everything about your health. But the things you can control, do. Do. Brush your teeth. You should brush your teeth because we care about you. That's why we're telling you to do it. And God tells us, do this and live. Do this and die. And people keep choosing to do the thing that leads to death. The broad road leads to death. Don't go there. So, in this passage, we're given instruction about how to stand against the enemy. Point number one was what? Humble yourself. You see, when you humble yourself, you are putting yourself in opposition to Satan's plan. His whole thing is about trying to get you to exalt yourself because then you're like him. And instead, you should humble yourself because when you humble yourself, then you're like God. The irony is Satan is saying, exalt yourself and be like God. If you exalt yourself, you're not being like God. If you humble yourself, you're doing what God did. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself and became a servant. That's the path. And that's the path to victory. You want to win? You want to be the winner? Fine, take up your cross and follow me. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So, that's the context in which you resist the devil, standing firm in the faith, knowing that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings, and that the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Verse 12, with the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I've written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. Remember back in verse 9, resist the devil standing firm in the faith. He's saying, this is the faith we're talking about that you're to stand fast in. You're to stand firm in this, the truth of God's revelation of himself. Not some internal light that you just follow what feels right to you. This is God's revealed word. Stand firm on the word of God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.